Welcome to The Karmic Path with your hosts, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine. This is the place where we discuss the basic elements of karma and how our everyday actions affect our karmic paths.
This podcast is supported by soul evolution, past lives, and karmic ties. Have you ever wondered what your soul purpose is? Do you have a life mission? Do serial killers have guardian angels? These answers and more are cleverly woven in this groundbreaking book, Soul Evolution, Past Lives, and Karmic Ties. You can find this book and more on thekarmicpath.com.
All right, this podcast is going to start off a little differently, and I'm going to say that we're all human, and we're going to start this off with Tina ranting about something she's very passionate about.
This is my rant about the Catholic Church. When I was 9 years old, my sister had been born that year. She was this little kid. And she was the youngest of four children. And my family was Catholic. And I never liked the Catholic Church. I hated how it smelled. I hated the cruelty of the nuns. I hated the intimidating factor of the priests. I hated this concept of confession. I hated it because I was 9 years old. I took care of my siblings, including a new baby. I helped my mother day and night. How much could I possibly have to confess? And what did three Hail Marys and two Our Fathers have to do with taking care of little kids? I never understood that. And so, you know, it's November, and I'm supposed to say confession to the priest, and I'm in the confessional. And I'm a little kid. I mean, I'm only 5'1". So that's a little tiny kid. And I'm in there, and you go in the confessional, and they close the door, and it's that weird smell. And the priest says, you know, I'll hear your confession now. And you're supposed to say, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." I'm thinking, you're not my father. And you're sure as hell not God. But, you know, I didn't swear when I was a little kid. So I resented this man. And he says, you know, your parents are living in sin. I said, I'm thinking to myself, what? And he said, your parents are living in sin. They are practicing birth control. How this priest knew that my father got snipped after my sister was born, I have no idea. Unless he confessed it because it was a sin. I don't know. None of my business. I'm 9. Why do I need to know that? Your parents are living in sin. He's droning on and on and on. And that puts you in a horrible position. And I'm the only one who can help you. I'm thinking, who are you to judge my parents? I cannot believe what I'm hearing. And you know what? Your parents are bad people, and I'm the only one who can help you. And I said, I think I'm done, and I walked out, and I'm sobbing. How could he say that? And he says, you know, you're going to have to say penance for your parents because they were bad people. And so I come out of the confessional, and the Mother Superior sees me sobbing, and she says, what happened? And I said, the priest told me my parents are living in sin because they practice birth control. I don't even know what that is. I mean, of course, the Catholic way is the aspirin between the knees, which we know doesn't work. And so she says, well, you know, I'm sure he didn't mean to upset you. You don't have to mention this to your mom. It's like, ding, 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 red flag, don't mention to your mother. Don't tell your parents. Oh my gosh, that is an immediate beginning with the priest and the Mother Superior to separate me from my parents. This is really bad. She says, you don't have to mention it to your mom. We don't want to upset anybody. And it's like, I'm upset. I'm not going to go home and hide it. So I go home and I tell my mother. And my mother says, the priest said, what? She says, yeah, you're living in sin. And I'm crying and crying, and the Mother Superior told me not to tell you. They told you not to tell me? They're separating you from us? That's it. And I would love to have been a mosquito on the wall. Because Lord knows there are a lot of, I shouldn't say this, blood-sucking individuals in the Catholic Church, because they really do take your energy. But the conversation apparently my parents had with the Mother Superior and the priest, and the priest is apologizing. I misunderstood him. I didn't understand. And my mother knew me really well. I didn't lie. I never lied. I was really straight. And I was so upset. I couldn't have made that up. I didn't know those words. I'm 9. I'm a cute, precocious 9.
Navy commander at the age of 9.
9. It's like, you picked the wrong person. So we left the church and we never went back.
All right. So you're telling the story and I'm looking at possible scenarios where this is the beginning where a quote unquote man of God is trying to separate a child from their parents.
That's how it starts.
This is how it starts. And we're bringing this up because of the atrocities in the Catholic Church are still coming out. This has been going on for millennia. And we're reading now about the Pennsylvania case. And we have all of these priests and other clergy members that are just getting shuffled around.
Well, it happened in Boston. It's happened in San Diego. Australia's got huge case after case after case. I mean, the Catholic Church has paid out between $4 and $7 billion, with a B, $1 billion in reparations.
And
they don't fix the problem.
They're not fixing it. And here's the issue. Is there's a lot of issues, but this is an organized crime syndicate.
That's exactly what it is.
I said that. I might get hate mail from it. I don't care. The bottom line is that they are not protecting their children.
They're separating children from parents. And had I not had a personal experience, I would not begin to have the level of compassion and empathy for the people whose parents didn't believe them for whatever the reason. Well, you know, we're good Catholics, or, you know, I'm sure the priest didn't mean anything by it. God bless my mother, because she believed me. We're done.
What other organization out there on the planet has a pedophile ring and it's okay? One that's so out in the open. We think of pedophile rings as being something secretive and secluded and something hiding in, you know, in the background. But this church is out in the open. They are in the forefront of the world stage. And this is an organized pedophilia ring, period.
Actually talked to a man who was in the seminary to be a priest, Catholic priest, and he said, well, they teach you how to do this in seminary.
What do you say?
And he said, they teach you how to do it. They teach you how to manipulate children. He said, we learned the magic of how to take over a child.
Wow.
They have to learn this from someone.
Yes, they do.
And in one diocese, if a little boy was sexually molested, he was given a golden cross so that other abusers would know how to recognize that child. So basically, this is sex trafficking. This is sex slavery. That's exactly what this
is. And money does exchange hands in these cases.
Yes, it does.
Which makes this a prostitution ring.
Yes, it is. And it's time to call it what it is. And it's, from a spiritual view, the egregious element beyond all others is separating that child from God.
Once a child or anybody who has been raped or molested, once this act happens, their life is forever changed. You can't go back and undo this.
The bell can't be unrung. And this is the point. This is a Karmic Path podcast. So the point we're making is the karma that these priests incur is unimaginable. But the karmic ripple effect in the lives of these individuals is beyond horrible calculation. They talked about suicide. They talked about chronic depression and drug abuse and personality changes. And that individuals didn't know what to do because no one would believe them. Who would believe that a priest would do something this bad? And they would go after the same person over and over and over and over.
All right. Now, as a parent, we've got the karmic ripple effect with the church and the clergy. Now, what about parents? Because parents are sending their children to these predators. What does this karma look like, and is it scalable versus a parent who has no clue to a person who has a clue and chooses to do nothing, or a parent who has a clue and removes the family from that institution, saving that kid?
I think obviously a parent who doesn't know that this is going on, I mean, my mother would have had no way of knowing what the priest said in the confessional. And the priest said, it's private, it's between you and me, you're never to tell another soul. Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah, right. My mother, as a parent, made it crystal clear to all four of her children that any time someone said, don't tell your parents, it's a giant red flag. And that meant that you had to tell her. She programmed us. And I want you to know, I program my kids, too.
You know, I did the same thing. And this is a really important concept.
That you must program your children so that they tell you what happens. And then if they tell you what happens, you have to believe them. And she believed me. Because as soon as I said, he told me not to tell you, Mommy, but I got to say, I didn't think that was right. I don't know what that means, but it made me really sad because he made it sound like you and Dad are bad people. And she knew exactly, I guess, what he was doing. And I think it sent a chill up her because, again, the next day she went in and we left the Catholic Church never to return. And the Mother Superior was crying, you know, he didn't mean it, it's all okay. And she said, no, never again. Never again.
And your parents literally passed that karmic test.
They passed the karmic test, and it changed all of our lives. I mean, I had two little brothers, so what would have happened to them?
Right, and what if your parents would have said, oh, don't worry about it, it's no big deal. One can only wonder what would have happened to you or your siblings down the road.
Okay, that would have been the karmic ripple. So from a karmic burden point of view, even as a child, I told the truth. I told my parents I did all of the correct things. My parents now are up to a karmic test. They have to respond appropriately. And because each of us, in my view, passed that karmic test, we protected, you know, the three children behind me so that those things didn't happen to them. And so that was one of the one. Okay, so something happens. The parent doesn't know. The child tells them. The second scenario is that something happens, the child's personality changes because the priest said, don't tell your parents or something bad will happen, or it's just between us. So the child believes the priest. I guess I'm just a little rebellious because I didn't believe him. I didn't like him in the first place.
Well, and I think this is common where kids will listen to the authority figure. This priest is an authority figure and he represents God.
I have to believe him. So the child now feels bad, but doesn't tell the parent. So the parent doesn't know, but they see there's something wrong with their child. And instead of pressing the child, I know there's something wrong. Tell me. I know your personality's changed. You're not the same. What happened? Talk to me. And pushing it and noticing that there's a cause and effect, parents are busy. Maybe they just ignored it. And then things begin to happen and the child begins to go down a downward spiral. So that's another scenario. A third scenario is the child comes back, the parent notices something and the child spills their guts. And the parent says, you know, I'm sure the priest didn't mean it. It's okay. And the problem is the priest really did mean it.
Right.
And in the last 70 years, there's a lot that's come out. So you can no longer say the priest didn't mean it.
The priest really did mean it, but now the child does not have an advocate.
Right.
Who is going to defend this kid if his own parents won't?
Well, it's certainly not the nuns.
No.
Talk about complicit.
And this can happen in any dynamic, but we're focusing this with the Catholic Church because what is happening now is egregious, and it doesn't seem to be changing.
But it's been happening for thousands of years. I mean, in Ireland, they found wells full of dead babies. Full of them.
On the nunnery.
Thousands of these children were murdered by the priests and the nuns.
All right. Now, in our book, Soul Evolution, Past Lives and Karmic Ties, we talk about what happens to a soul when they are violated and raped in such a manner.
And in this book, what we discuss is very powerful because it talks about the karmic ripple effect of that terrible act. How does that affect the soul, not just in this life, but in follow-on lives?
And we're looking at the root chakra, which is the creative center of the soul. This is where creation happens. And now this creation center, this root chakra, has been damaged.
It's been corrupted.
And corrupted. And getting over that's not easy. It's not like you, like we said earlier, you can't just take it away.
And you can't get over it. You have to learn how to live with it and around it. I'm convinced that there are so many sexual cancers, whether it's cervical or testicular or even colon cancers and
ovarian,
rectal. I mean, all of these are sexual center cancers, have a major effect on the body. It's as if something is so damaged.
It's just been damaged.
And the person doesn't know how to heal that part of them.
And this can take lifetimes to heal. And we have these men of God in a power position with elevated karma because they know what they're doing.
They are spouting the scriptures. They're standing under the tortured Christ. And I, as a little kid, I didn't understand why, if we're supposed to love Jesus, we had him up there still tortured on that cross. I'm a little kid. I never forgot looking at this staggeringly big cross with this image of Christ in his final tortured moments. So I just called it the tortured cross. And I was later to find out that it's a black magic symbol. Again, I'm sure there will be people who will be offended by this. And I need to let you know that I'm not sorry. And it looks like the torture, the prolonged torture over centuries of a master. It's a horrific symbol.
These men, these priests, these cardinals, etc., are literally wolves in sheep's clothing. These are black magicians.
That's exactly what they are. This is black magic at its finest. And if we're talking about, you know, the sex slave traffic all over the world, what is the difference between that and the Catholic Church? And there was a reporter who called this one of the worst crime syndicates in the history of the earth.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you could possibly call it.
It crosses cultures, continents. It's global.
The karma of the Catholic Church is beginning to finally implode. They have had to spend between $4 and $7 billion. That's billion with a B. In reparations to people, and they're losing $2.3 billion a year in people not staying with the Catholic Church. I mean, there are families that say, enough, I'm not putting my children at risk, and they leave.
All right, here's the issue though. They're paying out billions of dollars of money that the parishioners have given them in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't modify their behavior.
Well, it's not
enough money to modify the behavior.
And part of the legal challenge is that the statute of limitations.
And this is in the United States.
This is in the United States. I can't speak to other countries, but it's 30 years for a direct criminal assault, and I think it's 50 years for civil.
If a child has been raped, they have between the ages of 18 to 30 to take it to court. 30 is still really young.
Well, you're dealing with the aftermath, and maybe you've never told anyone, and you're so ashamed.
Or you've told people, no one believed you, or you told people, and you became more food, basically, for other abusers.
Right. And I mean, people can read the stories, and there's a very interesting movie out that came out, I think, in 2017, called Spotlight. It stars Rachel McAdams and some wonderful actors, but it's called Spotlight. And it's about the reporters from the Boston Globe who uncovered the staggering amount of sexual abuse in the Boston and Massachusetts areas.
And the depths they go to cover it up.
And the intimidation that the church puts out against people. It's time people stood up and said, enough.
Well, and, you know, I know somebody who belongs to the Catholic Church, and she keeps commenting about how this new priest that's coming into their church keeps getting moved around. And she's like, oh, wow, they keep getting moved around. I'm thinking, hello?
Maybe there's a reason.
If I were a parishioner and the priest in my church kept getting the new guy, I found out, kept getting moved around, I would want to know why.
Well, you're not going to find out why, because the policy of cover-up is so polished. They're so good at it. And you have to look at the symbols, the majesty and the massiveness of the church. It has its own country. It has its own country. Right. I mean, some religions only have their own state, but they have their own country. And the clothing they wear and the gold and the ritual, all is designed to mesmerize a person into believing they have power. They're mortal men. They have no power unless you give them the power. And the karma that's attached to all of this is way beyond my pay grade to figure out. But every person who says no, not never again, and leaves and says, I'm going to stand up to this, I'm going to bring it out in the open, takes karmic courage to do that. Took courage for me to tell my mom, to tell that mother superior. I was 9. I'm just lucky it didn't go farther. And they're working with children as young as 6 and 7 doing horrible things. I was just lucky. I got out when I did. Make sure that if you have family members that you get them out while you can. And if something happened, stand up, take it to court. Don't stand by and let any more children be victims. And hold the Catholic Church accountable. Let no one separate any of us from God.
This has to stop, because this is one of the largest impediments to spiritual growth and soul evolution that we face.
And there's a reason that Martin Luther put the 39 Theses on the gate of the Wittenberg Wall. The wall of the Wittenberg Gate was to pronounce the priesthood of all believers. It's a basic, not that I'm a Lutheran, I'm not, but his concept was, we don't need the Catholic Church. We don't need the Inquisition. We don't need them blocking science. We don't need them holding people back. Let there be no human being that stands between you and God. Let there be no human being.
You don't need a building of brick and stones and wood to have a connection to God.
You just need what's in your heart. Set yourself free and believe that. I think my rant is over.
As you know, we're all about karma and spirituality, and I want to plug this book again because it's had such good, powerful feedback that we're experiencing. And it is Soul Evolution, Past Lives, and Karmic Ties. And we talk a lot about how things that happen to us influence us and what our soul purposes are, soul missions, what happens when people have a karmic opportunity, what karmic opportunities look like. So please check that book out. Thank you for taking a walk with us on the karmic path today. We appreciate your listening and would love to hear from you. Please send all questions to questions@thekarmicpath.com.